Welcome to the fifth episode of Digitally Speaking. This is your host, Ali Sikandar. So in this episode, I feature Mr. Q. Well, talking about Khalifa Haroon, who's also the man behind I Love Qatar, Rakami TV, Store 974, and everything. We talk about social media in general, and we talk about other great things. So here we go. All right. So Khalifa, how's it going?
Not bad. How are you doing?
Not bad as well. All right, Khalifa. So I've been looking forward for this interview, and I think a lot of people would be curious to know how this all started, like Mr. Q, I Love Qatar, Rakami TV, everything else. So I'm very excited to hear about those stories, and I would love to hear from you. How did you get into this entire universe of digital among, and how did you become the face of the Qatari community among expats?
Well, I mean, the story isn't very exciting in the sense that I didn't plan any of this. It wasn't like one day I woke up and I said, "Hey, I'm gonna be the face of the community." It just kind of just happened. And I guess, you know, I'm the type of person that if I see that there's a gap in the market, I'll actually talk about it and then hope that somebody will fill that gap or fill that void. And if I see that nobody's doing anything, I'll just do it myself, you know? And yeah, it's just a lot of people would always ask me about Qatar and the country, and I just wanted them to learn more about it. And I think it was a long time ago when I was in university that somebody had come up to me and said, you know, "Where's Qatar?" And I was really upset because a lot of people didn't know where Qatar was, and I had just said, "Go Google it."
Right.
And she went off and she came back the next day and she said, "By the way, I did try to Google it."
Okay.
There was nothing on. There wasn't really much information about Qatar on the internet. And some of the...
What year was this?
2001, 2002. So I never thought about it very much.
I can tell.
And it's surprising. A lot of the content that was online was really out of date. In fact, the people would say things like, "Make sure you boil the water before you drink it." And I'm thinking, when did they come to Qatar? Like 500 years ago? Like, I don't know. You know, surprising. And yeah, and I decided to create a small little page online just with some important facts and basic information a few years later, actually.
Right.
That's when I came back to it. Like, I think a few months later, I came back to it and ended up with like 400,000 views. So it meant that people were interested in learning about Qatar. And again, I pushed the project to the side. And then when I finally finished from university, got my law degree, came back to Qatar, and I was basically a foreigner in my own country because, you know, there was so much that was changing. Every day was something new. And I just decided, khalas, I'm going to start creating content online.
Amazing. And I think you've been doing that brilliantly ever since you started. The thing which really attracts people is the fact that you're yourself. So whenever I see you or I meet you, you're exactly the way you're sounding right now in this podcast. And I'd find you the same during meetings, irrespective of who this meeting is with. So I'd find the same Khalifa everywhere, like on camera, on social media, in person. Everything is exactly the same.
I mean, I hope so. I think a lot of people change who they are to try and please others. And you end up just surrounding yourself with people that don't really care about you. They care about the you that you're acting to be, acting like. And so you might as well just be yourself. And then the real friends that are around you, the real nice people will... come out of the woodworks. It takes time and you can't please everyone, but yeah, you might as well just be yourself. That's what I say.
Yeah. Do you see yourself as an influencer?
I mean, I always used to feel like influencer was like a dirty word. You know, I used to associate influencer with poser or wannabe, you know, because you have a lot of people that want to pretend like they're influencers. And again, they forget that influencer means that you have an influence, not on everyone, but on a significant portion of your followers. I never intended to be an influencer. I would never label myself an influencer. The fact that a lot of people love to hear what I have to say or respect what I have to say is something that I'm deeply honored to be in that position. But again, I think that I also acknowledge that there are people that might abuse influence. I would never want to do that. and I guess I just want to be extra careful with what I say and what I do without not being true to myself. I mean, you look at people, I get upset when I see people just 24/7. They're not influencers anymore. They are walking advertorials, you know, just walking around advertising everything. And I understand that for some people, it's a business. For myself, of course, it's also a business for me too. But I think that, you know, mm-hmm. you need to have some certain standards. Yeah. One, you know, if you don't believe in a product, doesn't matter how much they pay, you can't, don't yeah. sell it. Two, if you are, you know, you're receiving any compensation, you know, for yeah. what you're doing, you know, be transparent and let people know. And then finally, if you're going to create content for the sake of becoming an influencer, it's going to be a rough ride. Again, I go back to what I said at the beginning of the talk show or beginning of this podcast, you know, just yeah. be yourself and you'll attract the people that you want, that will become your fans, followers, supporters, and advisors. Because the people who oh, yeah. follow me, to be honest, I really respect everything they have to say. Sometimes when I'm on the wrong path, if I say something wrong, they'll be really constructive and they'll tell me, hey, by the way, Khalifa, here's another point of view. And we'll have a conversation. And having said that, you know, just like everyone else, I'll get yeah. my own haters. I'll get people who, for some odd reason, yeah, they're just miserable, you know? They're unhappy with life. And I try to always shrug it off, because I don't know what they're going through. Maybe they've had a bad day and now they're taking out on me. And if I need to be that pillow, that cushion, you know, that absorbs, you know, that, you know, there, I did my part, you know?
Khalifa, coming back yeah. to, the points that you've made about like influence and everything. I think I'm just done with this whole like influencer gig. There's a very specific persona that you can associate. People, again, who are all decked up, who are perfect for life and who just 24/7 are selling anything from car tires to cupcakes and endorsing them, like as if there's nothing better than this. But the definition completely changes if you look at different parts of the world. I think they have gone beyond the state of influence. And now they're talking about like content creators, people who are actually creative and who are, yes, they're endorsing different brands, but they're endorsing them creatively, not just like coming on camera and talking about, oh my God, this is the best product that I've tried in my life. You guys should try it as well. That is going on. And I just hope that the speed of this content creation comes sooner rather than later in Qatar. Who do you blame?
I blame the agencies. Mm-hmm. The agencies that are forcing individuals to chase numbers so that they can get business. So the reason why a lot of people are the way they are as, between quotation marks, influencers, is because mm-hmm. they're always being told that, oh, well, that guy has 1 million followers. Oh, that guy has yeah. 50,000 likes. Oh, that person's, you know, engagement rate is better than yours. So they put you in this mindset where you're not good enough and you need to do yeah. more. And so what happens is that you end up slowly, slowly selling your soul because you're doing whatever it takes to get the engagement that the agency will be happy with, to involve you or include you or have you be a part of their campaign. It happens to me too sometimes. Like, for example, what was it? It was like last year, maybe the year before, somebody had come to me and said to me they wanted to do a campaign with me. But then they said, oh, well, all you have is 70,000 followers on Instagram. And wow. I said,
they could have said that.
Yeah. And they okay. approached me. I didn't approach them. They approached me, and then they started to like let me feel like I'm nothing because I only have 70,000. And I said, yeah, I might have 70,000, but I can guarantee you that these 70,000 followers that I have are smart, they're educated, they're engaged, they're focused, you know, and they're the type of people that might be interested in your product. They might be interested in what you have to say, and they'll think, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Would you rather have 1 million drones, or would you have 70,000 real people that will let you know how they feel, positively or negatively, by the way. yeah. And that's why I've been fortunate enough to see some data where sometimes people have been using myself as well as maybe another content creators, you know, account, not locally but could be internationally as well. And I typically have a better engagement rate. And that doesn't, yeah. But having said that, that doesn't mean that that person is bad either, right? So like you see, mm-hmm. see like me now saying this, I also want to make sure that whoever's listening to this podcast understands, I'm not saying that I'm better, but they've now created this narrative where it's like, hey, but I've got a better engagement rate. I've got more likes. I've got loads of comments. You just can't control these things.
You can.
And if you reach out to someone and you want to engage with them, then that means that you saw something in that person. So just decide, you want to work with them or not. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Don't force them into a corner or force them to do something that will maybe hurt them in the long run. That's all I'm saying. And so that's why I blame agencies to an extent.
I would rather blame, in addition to the agency, the brands who are contacting these agencies to get like specific influencers. And that's mainly because...
Oh, no. But that's what when I say agencies, of course, I'm not referring to just agency representatives, okay. You know, that are working for brands. I'm talking about, you know, the person who is advertising with a content creator or influencer.
I think it's a game of numbers. I've been observing this. I've been reading about this a lot, how real-time data really affects the verification syndrome, imposter syndrome, like so many things. And I think it's just a matter of seconds that you decide, okay, I need to follow this person because I heard about that person from X friend or Y friend. And I think the verification also matters a lot. Like if you're verified, that just adds like a couple of thousands of reals more on your feed.
Okay. Can I talk about verification for a second? Verification is the most stupid thing ever.
Okay.
I'm verified on YouTube. I'm verified on Twitter, verified mm-hmm. on Facebook. I'm not verified on Instagram.
Why aren't you verified on Instagram?
I've applied. Okay. I've applied three times. And every time it's another excuse that says that I don't qualify for some reason. I was told initially it's because I had my YouTube link in my bio and Instagram doesn't like that. I was told that if you use more than three hashtags, you know, in your post, then Instagram doesn't like that.
God. I never knew about these prerequisites for being a verified.
Nobody knows. That's the thing. Nobody knows how you get verified. And then I've seen people. Let me give you an example. Don't even talk about my personal account. Let's talk about one of my company accounts, okay? Which is Rakami TV. Rakami TV has almost 2.5 million YouTube, subscribers on YouTube. We're one of the world's biggest Arabic tech channels. We work with Google, with Apple, with Samsung, with Huawei, and we get invited. We're one of the few, if not the only ones that get invited to all of the events. I'm talking mm-hmm. about everything. So, and we get great, phenomenal results. And we're always very transparent and open for anyone to come and take a look at our analytics to verify, you know, our success. Instagram still does not verify us. Everyone's verified us.
It just really bothers me because here you have this, I don't know, this random brand or this random person with a followership of probably like a few thousands. And you see a blue tick on that person's face. And the person is not even famous. Forget about mm-hmm. international, but even on a local scale. Yeah, I don't know. It's complicated.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get it. I mean, if you, alhamdulillah, I'm very grateful. If you Google my name, you will see that there are articles about me from local and international agencies, from government institutions, and from private companies. There are so many. Like
you are a known figure.
That it's clear I am a figure. Yeah, I just don't understand why Instagram. But here's a really weird thing, right? After I apply, typically they'll reject, and then a few days later, I'll get a message in my inbox from an agency that'll tell me, "Hey, pay like 30,000-40,000 reals, we'll verify you." Okay. I know people.
Yeah.
I know, this is not I heard from someone. This is I know people who have paid, who've paid up to 50,000 reals and got verified. So I think that Instagram needs to definitely do some sort of internal audit to find out what is going on. Something's happening. I think there's a black market going on. That's what I think.
I have also like heard, not just heard, but I've seen people getting verified, but that verification getting removed from their accounts because the dude who was working on Instagram verifying all these profiles, they busted him.
Oh!
And they found out that this guy, yeah. And they, so they're smart, right? There's only a limit to this kind of work. Any sort of corruption within any organization has an end date. What happened recently is that one of the agents who was working in Instagram and verifying these accounts for like £5,000, £10,000, he got busted because they were seeing some very abnormal activity on his bank account. And they started investigating this further and looking at the trail
right.
Where the money was coming from and, you know, the accounts that he was handling and also the speed of verification that he was offering or giving out from his remit. Yeah, and they fired the guy.
But the thing is, does Instagram want to do something about it? Does Instagram, you know, want to help? That's the point. Like, let me give you another example, okay, of why I have a problem with Instagram. Somebody had created a fake account using my logo as their avatar. I report, if you go and try to report someone for impersonation, there's no option, okay? There's no initial option. So you'll go into, actually, let me open up Instagram right now. So I don't make any mistakes. So if you go into Instagram, I'm going to select any random account as if I'm going to report them. You're going to click on report and it's going to give you two options. It's going to say why. Is it spam or is it inappropriate? Okay, so there's nothing immediately that shouts, oh, it's because, you know, it's a fake profile. So if you select it's inappropriate, you scroll down, then you will see intellectual property violation or scams or fraud. You know, you have those options. And they actually have some new options that weren't available before, which include, you know, sale of illegal or regulated goods, suicide, self-injury, that sort of stuff. So I went ahead and I reported it for intellectual property. Okay. I believe, or did I say it was, it might have been fraud. I forgot. I'm not joking, Ali. I got a response within what, maybe half an hour?
Gosh.
That basically said that they have looked into it and they don't see anything wrong. Nothing violates their community terms. Now, first of all, the person doesn't just have a similar username. He just put like an underscore. Second of all, he's using my logo. Third of all, I have screenshots of this person emailing my followers claiming that, oh, I've randomly going to give them a prize. So he's actively trying to scam. That's not good enough for you, Instagram? What do I got to do? So I went on to Twitter and I said, I'll talk about it. I ended up getting thousands of retweets. I told my followers, like, hey guys, please help me, support me. Ended up getting thousands of retweets.
God.
Instagram still did nothing. So that's why I have a problem with them.
So that was part one of the interview that I had with Khalifa, and I'll be releasing the part two pretty soon. So stay tuned.